Our God and eternal Heavenly Father, we come into thy presence tonight in and through the name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've just been singing, Christ is the only Saviour, mighty to save. And we thank thee tonight for that time in our lives when we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and saw him upon that middle cross, bearing our shame and our sins upon himself and believing we were set free. And we thank thee tonight that we can sing about the Lord Jesus Christ. He never will fail. And we thank thee tonight for in times past when he has helped us through the stormy blast, through the times of trouble and sorrow, and he has brought us through. And we thank thee tonight, he's the one who said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. But there could be someone tonight in our meeting that does not yet know the assurance of sins forgiven, does not know the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ gives when he comes and he enters the heart of the sinner who trusts and believes in him. We thank thee tonight that he is a mighty Saviour. He never will fail. And tonight, whoever comes to him, he will in no ways cast out. And tonight, the gospel message again will be proclaimed here. The Lord Jesus Christ, again tonight, another opportunity to present the gospel where the Lord Jesus Christ clearly says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So we pray for our time together tonight. We pray that the Holy Spirit would use me as the lips of clay just to present the message that he would have go out this evening. And we pray for those tonight who are maybe even still considering coming through the door. We pray tonight, Lord, that they would just come in through the door and hear words of life, words whereby they may be saved and be sure of heaven at the end of life's journey. So we ask again for help tonight and for all places tonight where the gospel is faithfully proclaimed, that the Holy Spirit might move, convict sinners of their need, and tonight souls and names be added to the Lamb's Book of Life, forgiven through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we just pray for a time now that you would be with us in his precious and worthy name. Amen. You know, if I didn't believe this tonight, I wouldn't be up here, that Jesus alone can save. We thank you very much again for coming this bank holiday weekend to support the meeting here at Scott Street, and your very warm welcome given to you. Now, our reading tonight is in 1 Kings chapter 18. Sometimes you can be provoked and the Holy Spirit can speak to you. And this portion was brought before me. I'd just like to say at the start of the meeting, our speaker tonight was supposed to be David Glendinning, but he has a bad chest infection, and I was speaking to him on Friday night, and we agreed that it'd be best if he took time off and tried to get better rather than coming and trying to come through a gospel meeting in his condition. So he asked me to come and to speak. Now, this passage here, I was provoked to think about it after I had a conversation with a man about a week ago. And you know, sometimes you really do see what people are putting their trust in, and sometimes what the world really are going after. And it's so sad to think that from Scripture we know that there's no hope. There's no heaven in what they're telling you about. This passage tonight, 1 Kings chapter 18. And this passage tonight basically speaks for itself. It tells us everything in it that we need to know. I don't have to do much expounding on it, but I will just make a few wee comments. But it clearly speaks for itself. And tonight here, in verse 21, it says, Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. This was the children of Israel. And they had come into new lands and they had gone astray. And here the prophet Elijah comes. And he puts this great question before them. A great question that we put out tonight in the gospel. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal then follow him, and the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on the wood, and put on fire under. And they will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and they will call the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many, and call the name of your gods, but put no fire under it. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is God. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awakened. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, that they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob. Unto him the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullocks in pieces, the bullock in pieces, and laid it upon the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did the third time. And the water ran round about the altar, and they filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass, at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood and the stones and the dust licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. A very interesting passage. And a very interesting topic tonight. Just go now to John chapter 3 and verse 16, that well known verse. John chapter 3 and verse 16. And it says here, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Now this passage tonight, if I just read it, it speaks for itself. And shows clearly the proclaim of these people after they saw the sacrifice burned. The Lord, he is God. The Lord, He is God. But here, a question was asked at the start in verse 21. How long held ye between two opinions? It was just in the past week, I think, at one of the meetings we heard about Northern Ireland being a very privileged place to live, where the gospel is proclaimed faithfully, where the gospel can be heard in many different places. And again tonight, there's people and they're sitting on the fence. They know there's a God, they know the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world and died, but yet they have their pleasures and sin in the other hand. And tonight they're sitting and not sure just what direction to go, whether they should advance towards a God who loves them or else just remain in their sin. But the bottom line tonight is that they are a sinner and they are failing to proclaim and to repent towards God in heaven and proclaim that they're a sinner, but the Lord Jesus Christ has died for them. How long halt ye between two opinions? At the top of my Bible, I've just wrote here, tomorrow is eternity, just hidden from your view. And tonight the gospel message is going out again in our land, whether it's in a building, on the internet, whatever way it is being proclaimed. And people are putting it off. People are waiting again for another time. We know of that hymn, it says, room for pleasure, room for business, but for Christ the crucified, not a place that he can enter in the heart for which he died. And you know, in the last week or so, I have known four men who have gone out into eternity. Two of them suddenly, others maybe with an illness. But tonight, tomorrow is not promised to anyone. And it says here, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. You see, tonight there's people and they're answering not a word. You put the gospel to them, they say nothing. Some people are in objection and tell you exactly as how they see it and how they are going to get to heaven following their own God with a small g. But a lot of people say nothing. They maybe walk away with their head in shame. Remember the rich young ruler, he came to the Lord Jesus and he said, Master, how may I inherit eternal life? And he came to the very foot of the Lord Jesus. He came to the very one who says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And this man came to the very feet of the Lord Jesus. How may I inherit eternal life? And the Lord Jesus told him what to do. Go and sell all you have, give to the poor. The man proclaimed to the Lord Jesus how good he was, how he had kept the laws and the commandments. But it says he went away sorrowful. He didn't want just to give up all for eternal life. He thought there was maybe something that he could do. He could maybe keep the way he was living and still have eternal life. But not so. And tonight many is a person who you speak to. And they answer not a word. You know, tonight there's people who are brought up in gospel meetings when they're young, under the sound of the gospel, they know the truth. And yet tonight, when you speak to them about the gospel, they put their head down and they walk off, knowing that what you're saying is the truth, but they just don't want to give all over. They don't want to give their sin. They don't want to part with it. They want to continue in their pleasure. And so Elijah says here, well, we'll do a test. Build a sacrifice, cut it up, everything like for like. And he says, let's call, do a test. You call on your God. And remember here there was 450 men. All here could call on their gods. It says gods here. These men, 150, this is a powerful force, 150 men calling on their God to come and to consume this, to light this sacrifice by fire. And you would think that this was a great force. And then I think of Elijah here. And you know, I thought as I read this just in the last day or so, I thought, you know, it's like the world. Sometimes there's a great company and everybody thinks that's the way to go. That's the people to join with. That's the people to go. They know. They're speaking the truth. They must know the truth. But I thought of Elijah and I thought of a guilty sinner. Someone maybe thinking tonight of their sin and just proclaiming they're a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. You know, sometimes the crowd can lead you astray. You need to look in the scripture yourself. You need to come to the Lord Jesus Christ yourself. Because here, there was a great company. This would have been a great company to be in. But they were going astray. And therefore they called on their gods. And it says here what they done. They cried from morning to noontime. No response. Silence. They cried. Then after that they danced. Then after that they began to cut themselves. Lacerate themselves. And you know, as I thought about that, I thought if there's people tonight and they're still doing the same. Satan is blinding them so much that you go to some towns and cities. If you're maybe in Craigavon tonight in an accident emergency, you might see a pure soul coming in. And they've cut their wrists, they've sliced themselves. They're in distress, they don't know where to turn. And Satan just makes them do these crazy things to themselves. And here they've done it. They leaped around the altar and then it says they cut themselves. The blood gushed out. Satan tonight can blind, and he blinds so painfully. And those who are in darkness, he really, really blinds them and leads them astray. You know, tonight, Monday night, a man came into the meeting. He had a lot of drink on him. And he's been in before in a few years past. And he knows the truth. He knows about the Lord Jesus Christ. He can even recite verses, but tonight as I asked him to come, to the meeting on Sunday night, and unfortunately he's not here. Satan has continued to hold him in his state, but we pray for that man tonight that the Holy Spirit will continue to work and that he would recall verses he learnt in Sunday school and verses that he knows, and tonight he would. He's just walking past just now. Tomorrow's eternity just hidden from your view. And you need to decide whether it's the Lord God of heaven who made heaven and earth, who sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for you, or you're going to go on in your sin believing a lie and at the end there'll be no hope. There'll be no voice, there'll be no peace, there'll be no calming. Here these men danced, they cried, they lacerated themselves, and nothing happened. There was no voice heard. There was no voice heard. And then at the end, when Elijah watched it all, he said, come near unto me. He had seen enough. And I'm sure as he watched these men crying, cutting themselves, he must have been with a heavy heart to see men so eagerly, so strongly committed to this false gods that they had done all these things. And he said, come near unto me. Can't we just hear the Savior tonight speaking to those who are lost, those who are going down a broad road that leads to destruction, those who are putting their faith in false gods and idols? Can't you hear him tonight just saying, come near unto me? He says, come unto me, all ye that labour under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And all the people, it says, came near unto him. And he prepared the altar of the Lord that was broken down. He told him to come near. He watched. And you know, it's very hard for us as Christians to watch. To watch our friends and neighbours, to watch work colleagues, to hear them about what they're trusting in for eternity. And you know, we have to build friendships up. We have to warn them. But to think tonight of people who are going into a lost eternity, hoping in good works, hoping in something they have done, might eventually let them into heaven. But to go out into a lost eternity and realize there's silence, realize there's no hope, realize there's no strength, no rock to hold on to. And tonight they're in a lost eternity because they have believed a lie. These people here had a chance to put to test their God, and it failed. It failed. But the great God of eternity, he showed that he was God. And Elijah not only built the same altar, he got water, he poured water over it. He made it as impossible as it could for a fire to burn it. But I was just thinking today, you know, as this fire come down from heaven and consumed the whole thing, it took it all away. I just thought tonight of someone who's in their sin, someone who realizes that they're a sinner and Jesus has died for them. He just doesn't take it a wee bit away. He takes it all away. Completely burnt up, taken away. And that's the power of our God. He doesn't do things by half. He totally consumed the stones, the water, everything was consumed that these people came and they declared, "The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God." These people here were not people who were ignorant of who God was. These people were like the people who are privileged today and hearing the gospel. They knew the truth. They knew the great God of eternity, the new Jehovah, the one who had brought them through the wilderness, who had split the Red Sea. They knew how he was able to deliver, but yet they turned aside to follow Baal. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if he be Baal, then follow him. And the people answered, not a word. You know, tonight, just to open our Bible in Matthew, and if you looked at my Bible, of it all marked, and just to turn the pages and read the little promises that the Lord Jesus Christ has given. There's no way tonight that a false God could ever. Remember that the Apostle Paul, was it? He passed an altar and it said to the unknown God, to the unknown God. People worshipping somebody or something that they don't even know about, to the unknown God. But tonight it's great that in the gospel message we can present a God of love. And therefore we can look at John chapter 3 verse 16 and read that God so loved the world. You know, people tonight are asking, where's God? People ask me that all the time, especially in a hard situation. And it is difficult sometimes to explain to them that God is there. And they're asking, where is he? Where is he? Tonight, we can tell from Scripture, we have recorded that he is not very far from any one of us. He is there just waiting. And sometimes I remind people that God is exactly where they left them. And they need to go back. They need to go back to the start. They need to go back when that time when they realized and knew the gospel. They learned verses at Sunday school. They need to go back to where they began, where they learned about the Lord Jesus. And there they'll find him. And there they can seek him. And they can find a peace through the cross. We think tonight of a God who is able, a God who's willing and able to save. We read in John 3 verse 16, God so loved the world. Here's a God of heaven who looked down into this world and he saw it in ruin. He saw it in sin. He saw it in despair. And he'd done something about it. Here he just didn't sit and look down and do nothing. The great God of heaven sent his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. This is a God who we serve. This is a God who we trust tonight. One who is able, one who is willing. And he sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, into this world. And tonight, if you've never looked in the Gospels, look in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and see the account of the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, coming to this world and walking amongst men, healing, forgiving, giving sight to the blind, all the different miracles he done. And you'll here see a God who's able and willing, who's interested in sinners, and he's interested in you tonight if you have not yet come and to him and thanked him for dying for you at the place called Calvary. Just as I turn my Bible here now, I'm reading, no man can serve two masters. Father will hate one and love the other, or else he will hold to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and man. You know, tonight you must decide what you're going to do. How long had ye between two opinions? And tonight we have presented to you a passage from Scripture in the Old Testament where Elijah asked them to call upon their gods to do a simple act of setting fire to a sacrifice. And he presented another sacrifice, and he called on the great God of eternity, and it's plain to see who was listening, who was able, who was willing, and who could deliver. And we thank God tonight that he is willing and able, and he can save you tonight if you'd only come and see your need of a Saviour. John chapter 1 and verse 12. I'll just read it here so I don't misquote it. John chapter 1 and verse 12. But as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But as many as receive him. And you know, above that I have put, that's your part. As many as receive him. Your part tonight is to receive him. Not to reject him, not to push him away, not to go after your own ideas, not to make a God someone who you've designed in your own head, a God who lets good people into heaven and bad people are sent to hell, a person who, a God who weighs it up at the end and says, well, you haven't been too bad, come on into heaven, you're not as bad as those other people. I hear that all the time. People are making a God in their mind of who their God is. And their God is someone who one day they can negotiate with. One day they can say, look what I've done. I'm not as bad as him. But the bottom line here tonight is the truth of the gospel is that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Your part tonight is as many as receive him, and then God's part, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Tonight, if you come to the Lord Jesus Christ, admit you're a sinner and thank him for dying for you, you will have eternal life. You will have peace. You will have assurance. You will have hope at the end of life's journey. Tonight to go out into a lost eternity with no hope, no salvation, no assurance of sins forgiven is to go out to a place called hell in the lake of fire. You know, people don't want to know about judgment. People don't want to know the consequences of their sin. But Scripture clearly tells us, if you die in your sin, the Lord Jesus says, whether it go, ye cannot come. Tonight, would you not turn to the great God of eternity, the one who hears, the one who knows, the one who cares? You know, there's many scriptures in here, but we're not going to turn to them tonight. A God who knows the very hairs on your head. The one who came into this world, took on human flesh. And this record, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. We serve a God who's alive. We serve a Saviour who went to a cross of Calvary. In those hours of darkness, it says God made to meet upon him the iniquity of us all. All our sins were laid on the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And tonight, if we believe that, we will be saved. We will be secure. Why go after gods of the world who give no hope, who give no help, who don't answer in our time of need? Why not tonight stretch out the arm, your arm, and cling to the Lord Jesus Christ? We think, we're sharing with the children on Monday night, when Peter walked in the water, he began to sink. He didn't turn round to his fellows in the ship. He didn't shout to them, throw my rope. He cried to the Lord, Lord, save me. Why not put your hand out tonight, cling on to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, save me. Have peace, have hope, have assurance in a God who it says in Scripture, who cannot lie. All other gods, all other hopes is a lie from Satan himself. Tonight we present the gospel message, the way, the truth, and the life. And the question at the end of our meeting tonight again is, how long have ye between two opinions? I trust tonight that this simple message at short notice might sink deep in through the Holy Spirit. Tonight you may clearly see from Scripture that there's only one God. One God, one mediator between God and man. The man Christ Jesus, who came into this world to go to Calvary's cross and die for you. There's a wee hymn that says, no one cares for me like Jesus. And it is so true tonight. And it is our assurance and our hope. And our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's willing and he's able. May we trust him tonight more in our times of need. And may you tonight seek him for salvation. And swing the heart's door widely open and bid him enter while you may. Just pray. Our God and eternal Heavenly Father, we thank thee again tonight for the gospel message, the power of God unto salvation. And our prayer tonight would be, as we are silent, that the Holy Spirit might speak on, and this little CD might be used for your glory. We thank thee again tonight from Scripture that we have a story of truth. One prophet, one man stood in the gap. One man set the challenge. And tonight God was able to consume, to destroy the thoughts and to restore these people again. We pray tonight for our land. We think of days coming up when people will vote for a person that they want to represent them. But tonight we thank thee, our God, for those who are saved. We have a great advocate. We have one who we have trust in. One who is sinless, the spotless Lamb of God. One who is able to deliver. One who is willing to save and ready to save. And our prayer tonight would be that if there's one listening, that they would think about eternity. They would think of a God who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, who sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And tonight they might stop and acknowledge, I am a sinner, but the Lord Jesus Christ, he died for me. Have a forgiveness. Have peace and assurance that at the end of life's journey all will be well. They will be on the right side of a fixed gulf. They will be in heaven for time and for eternity. So we thank thee tonight for the hope we have through the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who could say, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we thank thee for our time together, and we pray for salvation in the Lord Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.